is Penn Jillette on a very humid day in Las Vegas, Nevada. Rained a lot last night. Sitting here with Michael Godeau, Secret Tour de France rider. How far are you riding today, Godeau?
I don't know yet.
I mean, how long?
It's 180 kilometers. I'm guessing 4.5 hours. I don't know. It's mountain stage. We're in the Alps now. So.
Okay, 4.5 hours.
Maybe five.
Godeau, for those of you who don't know, and I think all of you do, he's riding the Tour de France in his living room.
It's going really well.
It's going very well. He's at the top time every day,
That's right, by definition.
Yeah. By definition, because he rides whatever the top time is. And is your speed getting up?
Not. Well, yesterday was a day off, so I haven't ridden yet today, so we'll see.
Well, you were doing about 10 miles an hour, right?
Yeah, I've gotten up to 10. My average is still about 9, though.
On a low setting?
2.
that's low.
I'm not on 1.
Did you start out on 1?
I was on 1 for the first day.
So yesterday was a day off?
Yesterday was a day off. I'm feeling great.
What day was that?
What do you mean?
What day of the week was that yesterday?
Monday.
Monday.
Oh. Yeah.
Monday. So today is Monkey Tuesday! very exciting. Very exciting, Monkey. We have my wife made us Monkey Tuesday mugs. And they gave her a lot of trouble because she wanted to put Penn Jillette on the Monkey Tuesday mugs for our team. And they told her that she couldn't sell it with my name on it, which I'm very glad about. I'm very glad they're putting their foot down on that with all the Aristocrats T-shirts and everything else. But my name is still safe. You can't put Penn Jillette in a cup as far as Cafe Press is concerned. So I just had a sip from that mug. It's a very, very well-designed mug. It's a high-quality merchandise with my good friend Chip Denman designed the there's a monkey smoking, and it's a beautiful mug that you don't get. It's only for, I guess, the four of us, right?
Maybe
the four. Yeah, Jack's got one, and Patrick's got one. You got one. I got one. It's very exciting. So today we'll be taking monkey stories, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com, 866-570-PEN. If you have a monkey story. Now, for those of you who are new to Monkey Tuesday, we've had plenty of dung throwing. If your monkey story is mostly about the tossing of dung, let's skip it. Because, first of all, we've had a ton of those. And they made us look very funny, very cool. But the FCC, I guess, well, you know, Bush can say whatever he wants. But the FCC is uncomfortable with us talking too much about monkeys flinging dung. So stay away from that. If your story is also about sex and a monkey, like... Pops, they're so much like us, which is probably the best story in the history of mankind. Someday we'll rebroadcast that. Of course, with all the blips, it's not quite as funny, but it's pretty funny. Pops, they're just like us. Sex stories with monkeys and dung tossing. Stay away from any of the monkey stories you have, and there are fabulous ones. We have laughed very, very hard at the ones. Usually it's about monkeys getting hurt or monkeys hurting people. I think I prefer the monkeys hurting people just a little bit to the monkeys being hurt. But certainly there'll be no question about that. If you call with a great monkey story, no matter who is the brunt of it, you'll get put on. We have some... we have some Gmails. One of our listeners did research on the tea monkeys at the Auckland Zoo. Another person has a Mickey Dolenz story. As you know, we've had a Peter Tork monkey story. Now we have a Mickey Dolenz monkey story, and so we only need two more to complete the set. I have a Mike Nesmith story, so if we get close, if we get a Davy Jones story, then I'll probably throw in Mike Nesmith's story and make it a complete quadrifecta.
Wow.
Is that right?
Something like that.
Quadfecta? I don't know. It's probably not even right. But 866-570-PEN, 7366 with the monkey stories. And last week I got kind of carried away because we were pointed out by Wikipedia that the next holiday on a Monkey Tuesday would be Halloween. And we talked about maybe having that go out in New York. We're still talking about that, but there's so many people involved in this decision. Tellers, Piccoli, Crasher, Patrick, Jack, Godeau, my wife, Godeau's wife, whole families. And then that isn't even mentioned, the CBS side. And they have stuff to do. And CBS Free FM are busier than a one-armed bass player right now. They get a lot going on. They're doing a lot of corporate things. And so it's hard to even get them on the telephone.
Like juggling shows like us? Like corporate things when you say corporate things?
Yeah.
You know, I got that juggling show for IBM coming up.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing juggling shows like that. I also want to bring up a serious subject. I think the best Monkey Tuesdays are those that have a little mix of serious politics. And I'm going to throw this in. This is the stem cell research. It's the front page everywhere. Looks like the Senate is going to okay stem cell research and put through a whole bill. And it looks like Bush will do his first veto. Now, his first veto is a little bit misleading with George W. Bush, because he hasn't vetoed stuff, but he's ignored it.
Yeah.
He signs it, then he ignores it, is the way he usually deals with it. But he's actually may veto this. And I could not be more pro-science, as you know. I'm a very, very pro-science guy. Our show, Bulls Hit, is often characterized as anti a lot of stuff. What it really is it's pro-science, love letter to science. And I'm very pro-medicine, and I'm very pro almost anything to help human beings help one another. And so stem cell research is something I have 100% in favor of. The embryos that they're using are really are not life. They're not viable. They're not going to become humans. That's not the issue. But the nut point of view on this is that I'm against government funding.
You're agreeing with George Bush.
I'm agreeing 100% with George Bush for entirely different reasons. I want all medical funding stopped by the government. The government is not good at anything. Give us back our tax money. Have this done in private hands. Let the people that make this research make gajillions of dollars later. Do the research. Use private funds. Get the government out of it. The government should not be involved in anything we can't all agree on. And we certainly can't all agree on this. So he's doing it for brownie points with psychotic Christians, but his reasoning is wrong, but the final decision I think is right. So that's another point of view.
How are we going to keep up with countries that do finance that?
We do very well privately.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we do well privately.
I agree that we do. I'm just pointing out that, you know,
that's the question we're going to get.
Other countries
You've taken the question away from the people that were going to call in
that's
and say,
right.
Pat, I listen to your show a lot. I usually agree with you, but man, you're wrong on this one.
Yeah, they're calling about monkeys.
Those are I guess they're all pilot. But anyway, if you want a serious discussion, call in with a stem cell comment, George W. Bush vetoing the stem cell, which one article I have here is speculated that he might not do that. And if we get enough stem cell calls today, it may change to Stem Cell Tuesday, and Mike Jones will have to write another theme.
Call in with your funny stem cell stories.
But you know, we do our show every night, as you know. How much sugar are you putting in that tea?
Just four.
Four spoons of tea?
It's a big cup.
Okay. Every night, Mike Jones plays at the Rio with the Penn and Teller show. And every night after the show, when people come to talk to him, they always ask him, why don't you play the monkey music? And he always tells them, you have to come here on Tuesday. And Tuesdays, of course, are night off. Let's take a few phone calls. Let's talk to Scooter. I don't know anybody named Scooter. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Cool.
I do.
Okay.
It's a stupid name.
No, it's not a stupid name. Scooter's a very good name.
Okay.
You're just wrong, sir. How are you today?
Name for a monkey.
I'm okay. I just discovered your radio program because apparently you guys mentioned Bob Dobbs,
uh-huh,
which caused a flurry of subgenius emails. So.
Oh, really? J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Right.
Incidentally, just so you know, I have been a subgenius since 1978.
Somebody, I think somebody brought that up.
I was once told by Ivan Stang that I was the only person that paid my dues for 3 years straight.
You know, there's also a subgenius
I'm not sure if he was making fun of you when he said that.
I think he was. He was making fun of me. Because I heard about the subgenius, thought they were very good, and every time they would ask for money, I would send it to them. Because that's the kind of guy I'm. But lay some monkey on us, Scooter.
Okay, this is a San Francisco Zoo monkey story. This is about 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I should point out that the San Francisco is the Gitmo of zoos. Or what? This is not a place where you want to be locked up, okay? No matter what species you are.
But the zoo in San Francisco has a great hot dog place right across the street from it.
It's probably made from all the animals
exactly
that die there.
But there's really good hot links. It's like barbecue and stuff. It's very good hot links.
It's not animals, it's enemy combatants.
So anyway, this is about a performance art thing that I saw a chimpanzee doing there. Now, sort of at the nexus of the sidewalks is this, you know, very central location, is a large pit. Think theater in the round, right?
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's got a fence around it and the moat and a little island in the middle and a full-grown male chimp, which is a very large animal. This is not the cheetah from Tarzan, right?
No, that's a large animal. They stop, all movie monkeys stop at adolescence.
Right, right. So anyway, what this chimp would do is he had a whole act that he would go through. He did it four or five times an hour. So it was a very honed act. And he would do a monkey act. He would like kind of walk around with his hands in the air, making a lot of racket.
Well, do the sounds a little bit for us.
And what's that?
Do the sounds a little bit for us.
Monkey sounds?
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, now we can picture it. Sure.
Standard stuff. Wow. So he would start doing backflips, and so the show would progressively get better and better, acrobats and so forth, but then he would come up and mug the audience, make faces.
Sure.
And by this time, he attracted 15 or 16 people, right?
Uh-huh.
And this has a predictable end, by the way. And when
now, the end is not. The end is not throwing dung or a sex act. Is that right?
Oh, it is.
Well, no, it's just that we've had a lot of these.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I just started listening to the show.
Okay, that's okay. Well, go on with the story.
Let me describe it anyway, because it's very funny.
Okay.
And when he got people, I mean, like really leaning into that fence, right, in an emotion that I can only describe as well-practiced. Mm-hmm. He'd reach behind him and just let loose a Sandy Koufax pitch, right? And I'm not talking about a snowball. He had a sling it, you know, like a machine gun.
Oh, yeah.
And he could, I mean, just sprayed them, you know. And, of course, all the people scream and run, and many of them are very upset, and they go away, and then he just sits there, waits about 5 minutes.
Starts the next show.
You know, and so I found the San Francisco Zoo depressing. But I saw this, and I thought, this is great. So I stood about 50 feet back and just watched him do like four or five shows. And it was one of my best zoo experiences.
Well, you know, I always wonder, you know, you talk about a lot of juggling. You know, you talk about a lot of parallel development, you know. But a lot of monkeys have come up with this, and I don't think they've ripped it off from one another. I think there's just the 100 monkey theory, where they have found that doing a little act and then flinging dung is the best way to while away the hours at the monkey gitmo.
Right. I guess so. I mean, I was just amazed at his timing and
sure.
Development. I mean, he really was a brilliant performer.
Well, it's like vaudeville. You hone that act over years and years and years. And
right.
Scooter, I want you to do me one favor. Don't ever say Scooter's a stupid name again.
Okay.
I like it. I'm looking for a friend named Scooter. So thanks a lot for calling. Thank you so much. That was Scooter. And, you know, I knew as soon as he went into this what it was going to end with. And even though I put a prohibition on that, since he was subgenius, since he had slack, since he was a follower of J.R. Bob Dobbs, I was all for it.
And, you know, he got the Sandy Koufax thing in there.
Yeah, sure.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. He was very, very tasteful. Very tasteful. Description of dung tossing. I think we can do any of these. They all look good.
Okay.
No stem cell, by the way. When you have a choice, you're talking about Bush vetoing stem cell research in the United States and monkey stories. The listeners to Free FM are going with monkey stories. 866-570-PEN. That's 736.
I think Bush vetoing the stem cell is about as predictable as monkeys flinging poop.
let's go to Rick.
Okay.
What's up, Rick?
Hey, Penn, how are you?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
All right. Here comes the story.
Lay it on us.
It was either Dallas or Houston Zoo. I can't remember which one it was. But I hear this story, and it's like a gorilla escapes from his cage and gets out among the park patrons.
Yep.
All right, and, you know, he's, like, going after people. And you know how big gorillas are, right?
Oh, sure,
they're
huge.
Like 700 pounds or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, sure, around there.
They're huge, right? So he's going, like, after people and stuff like that, and the park security comes around, and they shoot the gorilla dead.
Uh-huh.
And the news reporter said this exactly. He said, "There were no serious injuries except, of course, for the gorilla." Is that good or what?
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. And
yeah.
Much better thinking about a blown dry guy saying that.
Right.
That's just
you know, it was the funniest thing I've ever heard. Except, of course, for the gorilla.
Except, of course, the gorilla.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rick.
All right, Penny. You guys are great, man.
That's the perfect epigrammatical Monkey Tuesday story, I think. It's just there are no serious injuries. Except, of course, the gorilla. Let's try, I don't know, let's go with Ellis.
Sure.
Shall we? How you doing, Ellis?
Great. How are you, Penn?
Never better, boss. Lay a monkey story on us.
First of all, let me say, big fan, long time.
Thanks so much.
And I was in the military for a little while, and we did some jungle training down in Panama.
Uh-huh.
And when we first got there, you know, the people that had already been there, they kind of kept their mouths shut because they didn't want us to know about the monkeys. And every night when we fell asleep, we found out the hard way that these monkeys would come down in the middle of the night and steal all your stuff. And if you left your Kevlar, which is your helmet, upside down...
Uh-huh. You would. What did they steal from you?
Well, you know, I had a, you know, the nimblest guys in the whole bunch had to climb trees and get food back and weapons and everything that was supposed to be tied down to you. Like, they took my cigarettes, they took my... they took everything. Anything that wasn't tied down to your own body,
and
they would take...
Where did they store it? They just kept it up in the trees with them?
Yeah, yeah. They'd throw it back at you in the morning, or they'd make you come chase it.
Oh,
it was ridiculous.
Fabulous. That's fabulous.
It was ridiculous.
That's cool. The Panamanian monkey story. Thank you so much,
Ellis. Panamanian monkeys. See you later, Patrick.
Thanks so much, man. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Penn. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to, first off, well, you just had a recent baby, as I know, and everybody else does.
Thank you.
Speaking of stem cells, did you store your baby's cord blood?
Yes, we stored cord blood on both babies. Even though it's if you look at it financially, it's not a good bet. You're paying much, much too much when it's really only the blood diseases and leukemia that it may help for, and only for about 5 or 6 years. But because I have enough money, we took that overpriced gamble and did do cord blood on both babies.
Can I give you a couple of new statistics? I work for the cord blood registry.
Okay.
Tucson.
Lay it on us.
And the new statistics that came out were from the Blood Journal, which is basically the hematology head journal for you know, for those guys. And the new data, because now they can store the, they've proven that the stem cells can be stored for beyond, you know, 5 or 6 years. I mean, really, they're expecting it to be, you can store them indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
The study goes out to 15 years, but there's no degradation within that 15 years.
Cool.
That they've actually done a calculation out to 70 years based on just the current things that you can treat stem cells, diseases that you can treat with stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And the odds are now, it used to be 1 in 2,000, now it's about 1 in 200 for you or your family to use that cord blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Now, you work for one of the companies, so you're a little bit biased, but that's assuming you're telling me the truth, which I always do.
This is a completely independent journal that I use it to promote the business, but it's not something that we made. It's not like a pharmaceutical study where the pharmaceutical company made the study and then used it. You know?
Sure. That's a great thing. I just thought it was just such a cool idea that you're storing parts for future use. My decision may have been based less scientifically and more on like how cool the packaging looked.
Well, the other thing is too is that your survival rates are doubled using related cord blood versus an unrelated bone marrow or some other source for stem cells.
That's a very cool thing. Very cool thing. Well, thank you so much, Matt. Thanks
You're
a
welcome.
Lot. Man.
Take care.
Okay. I had to cut him a little bit short. I thought, you know, that is a little bit off subject from stem cells, and I also felt a little guilty because he was a guy that pimps this stuff for a living. But I love this thing, and I did do cord blood on both kids, and it is expensive, but man, if it's going up to 70 years, might end up being worth it. We're taking a break. We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday with stem cells. Penn, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. Monkey Tuesday. Penn Jillette here, sitting with secret Tour de France rider Michael Goudeau, 866-570-PEN. 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We are talking about monkeys, as we always do on Tuesday, and also talking about stem cell research. You know, it means a lot. When you do a radio show and anybody listens for any reason, it's incredibly flattering.
Surprising.
Surprising and flattering. I mean, it really does make you feel good. And when people call in or people write notes, that's amazing. But when people go and do homework, they do research about stuff you've talked about on the air, I don't think there's anything that makes me feel better than this. And you know this, Michael Goudeau, for years now, ever since my good friend Ron Gomez, who pronounces it wrong, Gomes, but it's actually Gomez, claims to be Portuguese. He told me about T-monkeys, and I gave this half-assed description of tea monkeys on the air, and I think I said they were Canadian, and there are monkeys that dressed up in suits, and then they had tea every day for the excitement of the crowds at the zoo in the 50s, and then that got less popular. They were retired, and they tried to go into a monkey cage and shake hands with the real monkeys who beat them senseless. And I thought that was a touching and powerful and beautiful story. And I mentioned that in the air, and then people would call up and correct me. But here's where you go. This is the extra 10 miles. I don't expect any of the listeners to do this, but this is the thing he did. This is from David. It's Tuesday in New Zealand, and I've just come home from the Auckland Zoo. Being the loyal fan that I am, I stopped in the information center and asked about the tea parties. While I recorded audio of my conversation with consent, not that I know what the laws are on that here, there was quite a bit of background noise from people dispensing tape and vacuuming. But I'll attach a little bit of what I got, edited down a bit, as well as some photos. One thing they mentioned was they weren't actually drinking tea, but rather water with some coloring in it. And there's some wonderful pictures here.
I think that's what tea is. Another definition of tea.
Water with some coloring in it, yeah. Did he send the audio?
He did. I didn't download it yet.
You haven't downloaded it?
We'll
download that. But he found out a little bit about the tea monkeys. And really, going to the Auckland Zoo on a Tuesday is just a fabulous thing. I'm also going to read this. I haven't read all of it, but it's kind of to keep it balanced. We have a little bit of monkey, a little bit of stem cell. This is from a woman named Joan. Hi, Pat. I love your show. I usually agree with you about absolutely everything, even though I'm an Orthodox Jewish woman. Not sure myself why that is, although I'll keep listening until I found out. I disagree with you completely on the stem cell issue. I am pregnant with my first child, conceived through IVF, which our first child was too. Moxie was conceived IVF. As a byproduct of this process, I have 3 frozen embryos in a freezer in my doctor's office. My husband and I refer to them as our dear babysickles. The options for these embryos are very few, as you know. I can donate them to another childless couple, which I probably won't be comfortable doing. I can use them to create siblings for the baby I'll be having in November, a likely possibility. I can destroy them. Wouldn't that be a total waste? I can donate them to research that someone somewhere someday can benefit from something I brought into the world. Nothing would make me happier. As I said, I'm an Orthodox Jew, so before embarking on this process, I consulted with the top expert on Jewish bioethics. And I was told in no uncertain terms that these embryos have no status in Jewish law because they aren't really potential people. There is nothing wrong with having used them in research, even if they will be destroyed in the process. As who should pay for that research, while I agree with you that the government is not great at managing things, in this case, I am happier with the government paying for it than having drug companies do it. Keep up the great work, Joan. So that's a different point of view. She's very in favor of the research, as I am, but she thinks the government should pay for it. Although she made no argument for the government paying for it at all, did she? Really?
No.
There's no argument at all. But that's okay. Let's take, since you did a little stem cell research, let's take a, I want to redo both of these subjects. Monkey Tuesday! And, the nut point of view on George W. Bush's likely veto, it may have already happened, likely veto of the stem cell research by government, in that I say that Bush is right for the wrong reasons, because there's nothing in the Constitution or in the idea of the government that says government should pay for medical research. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. It couldn't be more wrong if its name were W. Wrongy Wrongenstein. Let's talk to Andrew.
Howdy, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hey, Ben, this is Andrew.
Hi.
My wife's half monkey, so I always listen on Tuesdays.
Okay, thank you.
Which half?
I don't know. She picks my head at night.
Okay.
I had to tell you about Lancelot Link, The Secret Channel.
Oh, isn't that a great show?
I love it, and I just can't believe it's never been mentioned on Monkey Tuesday before.
Well, it has been mentioned. Have we mentioned it?
I don't think we've talked.
Okay.
Well, the DVDs
are out now, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you got the DVD sets?
I
haven't watched the DVD set. All I've seen is probably 1 or 2 episodes of it. How great is it?
It's everything that I remembered. Amazing. Monkeys running around chewing gum, dressed up like all the James Bond villains of old.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
What years did it come out?
It was in 70 until 72, so 2 full seasons.
Really? And it's what's it called? Lancelot Link.
Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp.
Secret Chimp, yeah.
He's the top agent of the Agency to Prevent Evil,
yeah.
Ape.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
What were the bad guys? That was...
Baron Von Butcher, Wang Fu, Ali Assassin, Dr. Strange Mind. You name it.
Now, weren't they part of something called Chump?
Chump was the criminal headquarters for Underworld Master Plan.
You know that? You know that?
I told you. I don't know. I just know a lot of TV.
You know, I talked to a guy who worked on Lancelot Link, and he said there was a sound guy there, and the sound guy is working. You know, and he's walking around with the stick or something, and they're shooting a scene of Lancelot Link, and all of a sudden, one of the Lancelot Links, because you probably know this, there were several of them,
right?
Looks at the sound man and makes eye contact with him, and just locks on him during one of the shots. And the trainer comes over and says, "Okay, take the rest of the day off. We'll take we'll get another sound man." And he said, "What?" And they go, "Lancelot Link has marked you." He has made eye contact with you. That's a challenge in the orangutan world, and he is going to jump you and attack you. And the guy, according to the story, would not take the day off. He right. wanted to keep working and not bring another sound man in. And sure enough, two takes later, Lancelot Link, in the middle of a take, runs over and attacks the sound man. And, you know, the trainers, because this is back in the, you know, the pre-PETA days, you know, just beats the tar out of the one Lancelot Link, brings another one in, and they sent the sound man home for the rest of the day. But I just love the idea that you're working with someone, he's walking through, and they go, "He's marked you." You know? I think the exact same thing happens when you're working with Madonna, you know? You're backstage with a sound guy doing the monitor mix. All of a sudden, she looks at you with that Kabbalah creepy look. And all of a sudden, you know, the road manager comes over and goes, Miss Madonna has marked you. Take the rest of the tour off. We'll bring in another monitor mixer. But anything else to tell us about Lancelot Link?
Make sure you pick up the Evolution Revolution album that was released by the record companies, which was the band that Lancelot was in.
Oh, really? Really? And that's out on CD?
It's somewhere. You can probably get it on vinyl, but yeah. I don't have it yet.
But are you looking for it?
I will pay all my stem cells for it.
Well, we'll try to broker a deal. Write us an email to penradio@gmail.com, just so we know your address. And anyone that has the Evolution Revolution from Lancelot Link on vinyl or anything else, we'll try to broker a deal. Set up our own little eBay. In no time, we'll be selling Pez dispensers.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks so much.
He knew a lot about Lance Link, man.
He sure did, man. You know, I kind of thought that he was going to be one of these guys who just goes, "There's this goofy monkey show on." But you called him on Chump.
Yeah.
And did he make that up, or was he right?
I think he's probably right. I don't remember. I just knew there was a Chump.
So it was, I remember none of it.
None of it.
Something headquarters for Underworld.
Yeah, there you go.
MP. What was MP? I was going to say World Domination, but that's not MP.
It's not MP.
No, it's not MP. But he knew something. Let's go with...
I can't believe Lance Link was in a band.
Of course he was in a band.
I bet he played bass.
Everybody's in a band. What else could he play? I'm looking up here. We got a few people calling about stem cell, a few people calling about monkeys. But I think that now is a good time to take a break. We'll have a little more time the next hunk. We can do more of this and really kind of dig in. We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday. Penn Jillette on Free FM with Mike Godeau, secret Tour de France rider. Penn Jillette here on Free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Penn, as always, with two N's. When you're talking about me, it's always with two N's. I mean, if you're talking about the writing implement, it's with one N. But my name is spelled with two N's. I guess my parents wanted to separate me from a writing implement. I'm sitting here with secret Tour de France rider Michael Godeau, who is riding the Tour de France in his living room on a stationary bicycle. And is lots. Did you weigh yourself yesterday?
Yeah, I've lost another 3.5 pounds.
3.5 pounds. So it's about for every 40 hours of riding, you lose 4 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns out to be almost exactly that.
And you're still eating ice cream.
I wish I could report it were better than that.
That's really not bad, though.
I guess. Because
you're changing nothing else, right?
That's
true. Blueberry pie. You're probably eating more blueberry pie than you would without it.
I might be.
Yeah, okay. So that's not too bad.
I've added fudge sickles to my regimen now.
Do you eat while you're riding?
Yes, sometimes.
Oh, that's so great. Have a big slice of blueberry pie while you're riding? Oh, that's so cool.
You know, it's 5 hours on a bike.
Sure. People have gone just bug nutty. writing in about Lancelot Link. Turns out that my good friend R. Ron Gomez, who pronounces it Gomes, has written in and said that our friend was absolutely 100% right about Chump. And Patrick, the always diligent, always interesting, scintillating Patrick, has gone to MySpace and found that Lancelot Link has a MySpace account where he plays something by the band Revolution Evolution, and you can download that there. So if you go to MySpace, you can learn a lot about Lancelot Link. I'm hoping if we do Monkey Tuesday in New York, that maybe we can get we can play the Lancelot Link videos before we come on.
Kind of as a warm up.
Kind of a big warm up. So when we come out, you know, we're going to come out to also Spock Zarathustra, and you know, it'll be that big in our monkey suits, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing if it happens. You know, if it doesn't happen, it won't be a wonderful thing. But I want to pretend it's going to be a wonderful thing, so I can feel good about myself. Let's take. We were talking about, as you know, monkeys and stem cell research, and I want to talk to Saj. Is that right, Saj? Saj. Am I saying your name right, sir?
Yes, you are. It's actually Sajan, but I have everyone call me Saj.
Okay, Saj, what's up with the stem cell research, man?
Just want to let you know that government research is so critical for things like this. I mean, actually, before I say anything, I want to say I love your show.
Oh, thanks so much.
Especially Penn and Teller BS. That I agree with almost everything in it.
Thank you so much, Saj.
I myself consider myself a libertarian. I prefer not to have government involved.
Uh-huh.
But if you think of the amount of stuff that government research has brought you,
uh-huh.
When I was trained as an electrical engineer specializing in microwave communications.
Uh-huh.
Everything that you use right now is ex-government research based on that. And if you don't have government backing for your research, it's just the way research works. You're at a great disadvantage. I mean, the internet, the cell phones you use, all of this was made possible because the government provided the seed money for the industry to then follow after.
There's absolutely no doubt about that. What I would be hopeful, and this is not something I can prove, although I think there are people who've done the research on this, for pre-nanny state type stuff. Pre-heavy government stuff, is that if you put the rest of the money back into that economy and don't put a cap on what people can make from that, if people can make money from that, that you will get wealthy corporations investing in that in hopes of having it pay off really big down the line, and then those different corporations investing in some fail and some are successful, you don't have to pay for that. So I think there is some logic to that. But certainly the way we are now, right now, so much of the technology we have comes from government-funded research that you're absolutely true in the practical sense. But I would love to think in a perfect world, in the idealized world, that you could do a lot of that privately. I know that a lot of space exploration, it seems, is going to be moving from government to private, and I'm optimistic about that. Aren't you, in some way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
the government, you needed to provide the seed before private would go after it.
I think that's the only place we disagree, and it's a very minor disagreement, although it's trillions of dollars. But I do think that even without, I mean, the government really had very little to do with home computers, you know, very little to do with that. A lot of that stuff comes out of Bell Labs and the original, Xerox PARC and all of that. A lot of that part of the technology came out private, and I think you could use that. You're using the paradigm of the internet. If you use the paradigm of why we use the internet, that's mostly private. And I would just like to see that when the government has to decide where money goes, then you get, you know, the whack jobs having to agree on everything for that to be going. And I'd rather see more money in the private sector and that going in. But I mean, I can certainly agree with you that, you know, what I want most is technological advancement. And kind of luckily for me, I don't have to be tested because my point of view is so nutty that I get all this government research going on while I preach against it, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just saying, the problem would be that, you know, this is just singling out solely stem cell research, and yet all the other government funding still goes on. So
Absolutely, absolutely. That's kind of what I was saying about the, it's not really hypocrisy, but it's knowing that your point of view is so far from being adopted that you can kind of say it, with impunity because, you don't really know, you know that by the time it happens, someone else who is saner than you will have stepped in and taken care of it. But I love exploring the idea of, how small the government could get. But we're a long way from stopping all government stuff. It'll be interesting to see how private exploration goes. But thanks a lot. I mean, you clearly have a saner point of view than mine, but my point of view is just so idealistic. I like to sit in my own little world and go, wouldn't it be beautiful if we just had more freedom and not as much of the government intrusion? But you're certainly right. Seed money seems to be important. I'd love to find a way around it. But thanks a lot for calling. You know, there's not, I'm certainly not going to argue with somebody that smart.
Chicken.
Yeah, well, you know, that's, I'll wait till we hang up on him and then argue. No, I try, I hope you notice that. I try to have a lot of restraint. No people noticing, I don't like to hang up on people and then attack their point of view.
Right.
And I'm not going to with him because all I can really attack is my own point of view.
I'm just going to say Bert Rattan. That's what I, that's
exactly.
My, you
well,
know.
I kind of said that. I kind of said that when I said, you can explain who Bert Rattan is.
airplane designer,
yeah.
Who's built the rocket that's made it up into space and back.
Yeah, and he that kind of that research. It seems like medical research you have much better chance of making money on in the long run than you do with space exploration.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's going to make his money back.
He's going to go to the moon, get the helium-3, bring it on back in buckets. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that people would use that. Use that money. What's that hand gesture? Yeah, Happy Jack's making a hand gesture here. I'm going to go. I'm gonna leave a couple of calls. We're at 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We are taking calls about monkeys because it is, of course, Monkey Tuesday. And we are taking calls about stem cell research and how I believe, or I said, perhaps irresponsibly, that not paying for government research for medicine was a really good thing. So George Bush not signing this was absolutely fine with me, although I wish he would not sign, you know, would eliminate all of that. And our new friend Saj called up and made a very good argument.
Made mincemeat out of that mouse.
here's a cute little Monkey Tuesday story that I have here. This is from Sharon, and she says, "Oh man," that's where she starts it. "Oh man, I have been listening to your show for quite a while in podcast form as I live in Canada. Very sorry. We do not yet have the same level of sophisticated radio technology as your country. Like most of your listeners, I'm especially fond of Monkey Tuesday. I have a good monkey story involving experience at the monkey temple in Nepal, and I've been meaning to write it for a while, but today, my friends, something even better happened. We don't get the Nepal story. I guess that'll come in another time. This afternoon, I was sitting in the bus stop downtown and saw a man walking down the street juggling. He wasn't busking, that's passing the hat
right, in
Canadian, or trying to draw a crowd. He just seemed interested in going his way while juggling four balls. When you were starting out as a juggler, did you walk long distances juggling?
I did.
Yeah. I once rode a unicycle and juggled 23 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, and a unicycle 23 miles in dog years, that's like 75 miles. He stopped once he got to the bus stop, sat down, and continued to juggle. As I have a very limited juggling knowledge and experience, the only thing that comes to mind when I hear the words is Penn and Goudeau. The more I watched the show, the more I began to wonder if he listened to your show. This seemed to me pretty unlikely since it doesn't air in Canada. Really, I mean, what are the odds? If he is the kind of nut who walks around juggling, I lean over. Excuse me, do you know what date it is? Without dropping a ball, he replies, July 17th, I think. Monday, I ask? Yeah. So that means tomorrow is Tuesday, right? Yeah, right. Tuesday, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I gather my nerve. The Tuesday of monkeys? He looks at me blankly for a moment. At this point, I become rather embarrassed, and I assume he's about to write me off as a complete nutcase when he breaks out into the biggest blank-eating grin I've ever seen. Monkey Tuesday! he exclaims. We assume that the music played on the bus, too. I mean, we both burst out laughing and then launch into an animated conversation about your show, all the while ignoring the perplexed stares of the other people waiting at the stop. So there you go. Monkey Tuesday is spreading across the globe and creating new friendships. If all the world can just learn to come together in their common love of listening to stories about monkeys injuring themselves, there'll be an end to all war. Keep it up, Sharon. What bumps me about that story is that it doesn't end in some sort of hot sex like the one we got from London did. It's interesting that the monkey meeting stories of human beings have been so far the major ones in London and in Canada. There's no American love or friendship stories forging there. But we're going to take a call here from Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Good, Dan. How you doing?
Never met a boss. Lay it on us.
Well, a friend of mine went to the Bronx Zoo to pick up some legal prescription medication. lots of people don't know that, you know, near the monkeys' cages, there are honest stand-up taxpayers with pharmacies all over the zoo.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that.
So what happened was one of the monkeys, all of a sudden, out of the blue, brutally attacked another monkey.
Oh, yeah!
Now the people visiting the zoo had their kids around, and they're really upset by what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's some sort of investigation. One of the zookeepers swore that he understood how these monkeys communicated.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he spoke F-phonics.
Okay.
In another life, he was a, you know, a caged monkey himself.
Sure,
sure. Anyway, what happened was there was a particular judge named Ho Frown. Now, he's not one of these judges you'd see on, you know, TV like NBC4 or anything like that.
Yeah.
But so he gets to the bottom of the brutal monkey attacks, and he came to the conclusion that just one of the monkeys was from California. Apparently, you know, New York monkeys and Californian monkeys don't get along. So basically, the animal judge just ordered the monkeys to be put in a separate cage, and that was it.
Thank you so much, Paul. I think that Paul mostly wanted to get in his little thing about pharmaceuticals.
You think, yeah.
I think that was mostly what we snuck on the air there was an ad for for him selling by the monkey cages. So what do you say, Godot? Do you want to end with stem cells? Do you want to end with monkeys?
Well, I have a letter that combines both.
Okay.
This is from Steve. He says, you know what I would like? Monkey stem cells. I would like to change my DNA to be a little more monkey. I already have the fur. I'd like the added strength. A properly angered grown chimp can rip off your arm and beat you to death with it. I would like to be able to accurately throw my poo to express my annoyance with people.
I think he does not really understand, I think. Well, he's talking about the future of
the
stem
fly.
Cells. Because what people, a lot of people don't know is that stem cells right now do jack, right?
Yeah, it seems like it.
They really do jack. And all the talk about, how to use just your first name, Jack. Could use your last name. A free FM frowns on that. They know Jack. You know, it's really pretty good for leukemia and stuff like that. But all the stuff they talk about with Alzheimer's and, you know, the Christopher Reeve stuff of putting the spinal cords back together.
Very early testing.
Yeah, very early testing, not really going on. And because of George W. Bush, it'll go even slower now. And even though I'm in favor of that, I'm not in favor of that in the immediate picture, only in the big picture. Let's hope that the Halloween brings us all together on a Monkey Tuesday in New York City. This is Monkey Tuesday. I'm Penn Jillette, your humble servant. Sitting here is Secret Tour de France writer Michael Godot. Remember, let's all be a little more monkey this week, okay? A little more dung flinging. So long.
Free FM.
Yeah.
Free FM is Baltimore's best personalities. The Junkies. Mornings 5 to 10.
All four of us are morally bankrupt people.
Yes.
Oh.
Morris. Middays 10 to 1.
Listen, you son of a bitch. Don't tell me that they're not a hateful organization.
Jim Cramer. Afternoons 1 to 2.
Man, we'd love you here in Baltimore, Maryland.
Man, I'll tell you something. I gotta get down there.
Penn Jillette. Afternoons 2 to 3.
Paul McCartney bonded with a one-legged psycho.
Don and Mike. Afternoons 3 to 7.
What do you know best about me? I like things the way they are.
As a matter of fact, if I could lie down through life, I would do that.
Team Virgin. Nights after 7.
Dave Grohl!
What's up? It doesn't seem like it's a real interview. It's like, oh, I'm calling in to check in on my friends.
Baltimore's best personalities. Baltimore's best talk. Baltimore's best music is on Baltimore's Free FM.